I get this writer's block. It comes as quite a shock. And now I'm stuck between a hard place and the biggest rock. In my own head consumed, I sit back in my room. It's like the tapestries of life get tangled in the loom. I'm like a butterfly caught in a hurricane.
Okay, you've got over your writer's block, you've finished your magnum opus, How to Get a Publisher to Look at It, Recognize Its Brilliance and to Make You an Author. Now, if you don't have an in with the publishing industry and you don't want to self-publish, what do you do? Well, you could send it to a publisher, but be aware that your unsolicited manuscript, that's what they call it, an unsolicited manuscript, will go on what they call in the publishing house the slush pile, where it may or may not be read. Investigating the pros and cons of joining the slush pile, here's Sarah Lestrange with some very useful do's and don'ts along the way.
When I imagine the slush pile, I think of a tower of manuscripts tottering in the cleaning cupboard of a publishing house. An annoyance that nobody knows what to do with, forgotten about, perhaps draped in cobwebs. I was a bit disappointed to find out that for the most part, the slush pile is now an electronic pile on somebody's hard drive.
Well, traditionally, it was the way that you did get published. Before literary agents became an essential part of the literary ecosystem in the 80s.
Geordie Williamson is a new publisher at Picador, an imprint of Pan Macmillan. He's still working his way through the slush pile that greeted him when he arrived. He has a great name for the slush pile. He calls it the unlovely place, but he says it's central to publishing.
It might be a kind of mad idealism, but there is the possibility that there are books that don't fit in either to the personal taste of the literary agent or their reader, and there may be books which might be the next big thing rather than quite like the big thing that was published 3 months before.
All sorts of people send their manuscripts off to publishers in the hope it will one day grace the shelves of bookstores. The very young who are starting to navigate the publishing world, established authors from other countries trying to get a shoe in here.
And then, of course, you've got the way outs, and there are some splendidly bonkers manuscripts that I've received, which have their virtues, but I'd have to say do not necessarily emerge from the sanest of places.
Perhaps you can think of the slush pile as a lottery for publishers and for writers. It certainly worked for text publishing.
The very first book that text ever published came in through the slush pile. That was Shane Maloney's debut.
Of his now famous Murray Whelan series. Text is unusual in that they want you to send a hard copy of your manuscript. Don't email it. Elena Gagoulis is a publisher at Text.
In a week, we get probably up to about 100 submissions.
And who reads all of these
submissions? We all do, actually. We all read them. We all gather on a Friday afternoon in the boardroom and sit around with our manuscripts.
With some chocolate and champagne, maybe? Or...
We wait until 5 for the champagne, but we do have some chips there to keep us going. And all manuscripts are read at least twice. So two people.
All manuscripts.
That's right. All the ones that come through are read by at least two readers. It has to have two people saying no before it's rejected.
Why is that?
To make sure that we don't miss anything. We don't want to have something fall through our fingers, and we want to give the submitters as well the knowledge and satisfaction that their work has been considered, you know, that we're taking it very seriously.
While Text has had other success stories with Zane Lovett, Simon Barnard, Mark Smith, it's had many misses too.
It's not a great, if you averaged it out by a percentage of the number of books that we receive that are published, it's not a huge percentage, but we're really reassured that we can find a couple of things a year to publish.
Do you like reading the slush pile?
I do like reading the slush pile. There's always that sense of anticipation. Maybe today's the day that you're going to find the next great acquisition, the next great Australian novel.
Finding a diamond where the rough or polished is what keeps publishers diving into the slush pile. Louise Thurtell from Allen & Unwin has really fostered its slush pile. Louise is the publisher of the rural imprint, Arena.
We have an electronic pitch system, so everyone anyone in Australia can send us the first chapter and a synopsis of their book on a Friday. We call it Friday Pitch. We set it up, I actually set it up 10 years ago when I started at Allen Unwin. It's very easy for sort of people who are really connected with the publishing world in the city, going to creative writing courses and so on, to get their, you know, a friend of a friend to get their work in front of a publisher, but much harder for people who are a bit intimidated by the whole publishing process.
So 10 years later, what's the result?
Fantastic result. So I probably take on about 75% of my books through Friday Pitch, and we have at least, you know, six fiction authors who've come through Friday Pitch, Fleur MacDonald and Carly Lane and various other people those two are on their eighth and ninth books with me. The one downfall still, and you just can't get around it with publishing, is that the parsing through the Friday Pitch is easy. It's just getting the time to read the full manuscripts, and I feel like we still fall down on that.
To help your chances of having your work read, whatever you do, reread your manuscript before you press the send button.
You would not believe the number of typo-ridden manuscripts that we get. So that means that we can tell the author hasn't even gone through and checked their work.
So Allen and Unwin has the Friday Pitch. Picador has manuscripts Monday. HarperCollins tell me they did run the Wednesday Post, but it's in hibernation at the moment. Text accepts year-round. Scribe is a bit different because they have a three-month window twice a year for unsolicited manuscripts to be sent electronically. Now, all of this information is usually on a publisher's website. Generally, don't send the whole manuscript. A synopsis with the first chapter is usually enough.
So we do have an ever-growing slush pile.
Leslie Harm is a publisher at Scribe. And don't you think, having all that reading hanging over your head, that reading the slush pile would be a burden?
I wouldn't say that, actually. I was doing the slush pile myself for the first 2 years when I got to Scribe, and I actually really loved it, I guess, because I'm a writer myself, I guess, so that's I sort of see how people struggle, and I'm really excited to see that people are trying, even if they haven't done such a good job. It's nice to sort of have a chance to see it, and you try to be as nice as possible if you're rejecting them and that sort of stuff. So if anything, I find it's part of a revitalising part of the industry. You actually get to have contact with the authors that are out there. And I know that a lot of people think that publishers are these sort of people hovering over the industry, sort of not really caring about the little people, the writers who are struggling away. But I'd say, particularly from my point of view anyway, that it's completely the opposite.
Despite this, Scribe hasn't had much success finding that great Australian novel or non-fiction book.
So we receive a lot. And then from the ones that we receive, we probably actually only request the full manuscript, probably about, I'd say maybe a quarter, if I'm being slightly generous. And then of those, it's minimal, absolutely minimal. I can only really think of about three or four books that Scribe has published from some people call it the Diamond Mine, but the slush pile.
Ever.
Maybe not ever, but certainly within my knowledge of maybe the last 5 years or so.
Reading the slush pile is an art, not a science, according to Picador publisher Geordie Williamson. And it's important to know that readers aren't always focused on the job.
Now, you have to be very lucky, because who knows who that person is, whether they're a good reader, whether they're tired, whether they're about to quit. You know, the notion that somehow there's some standard response to unsolicited manuscripts, it's not true. There are all kinds of possibilities for where your beloved and maybe, you know, a piece of work you've spent months or years on has actually ended up.
If you do send your manuscript into a publisher, whatever you do, don't hassle them. Don't call us, we'll call you, is their credo. While you're waiting to hear from the publisher, though, there are other things you can do.
I think joining a writing class and a writer's group is always good advice, especially if you're just starting out.
It's not so well known in Australia, the whole agent thing, but I would say investigate agents.
The if I were setting out now, what I would do is I would be seeking representation. I'd be using any kind of open manuscript space I could.
Go back to your favourite books of all time and don't just read them for pleasure, but read them for the craft. So look at how they develop character. Look at how they balance exposition and dialogue scenes and characterisation, and really bring that to your writing.
And finally,
it doesn't ever help to push a publisher and get snooty with them if they haven't responded. Yeah, just try to be patient.
Leslie Harm from Scribe Publishing. So be patient. That's always good advice. And get an agent. You also heard from Geordie Williamson from Picador, Alan and Unwin's Louise Thurtle, and Elena Gugulis from Text. And they were speaking there with Sarah Lestrange. This is the best of Books and Arts on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart. Good to be with you.